Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Tilly Fenton is an Australian indie pop singer and songwriter. Starting her musical journey back in 2023, Tilly has spent the past few years crafting her debut EP, working alongside renowned producers and songwriters Anna Laverty and Michael Belsall. An artist capable of balancing vulnerability with strength, Tilly is one of the rare few who can imbue the emotional complexity of growing up and navigating relationships through a mature lens far beyond her 22 years. Her debut single, The Secret, and Valentine have already captivated listeners along the way, and the latter was also featured on the Hot Hits with Nick and Lauren on the Hit Network. Her follow-up single is called It's You, with the announcement of her anticipated debut EP, It's a Feeling That I Know, set for release in 2025. Earlier this year, Tilly also ticked off another massive first, completely selling out her first headline show at the Burgee Bandroom. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Tilly Fenton. Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I'm doing really good. Thank you so much for having me. Currently, I am in Melbourne, Australia.
At what age, whether as a child or teenager, did you think, okay, I want to be creating music? And how did that journey progress to where we are today?
I think I was probably about 7 or 8, and I started playing classical piano. And my mum was a singer, and she really wanted me to do some piano lessons because she had never learned an instrument before. So she kind of pushed me to do that a little bit. And so, yeah, I started playing classical piano. And I think with classical piano, it's so, everything has to be so right. Whenever you get something wrong, it doesn't sound the best. So, you know, I was kind of taught to just play the notes that were on the pages. And for a while, I kind of just hated it for a bit because I wouldn't really practice, and it just felt like more of a chore than anything. And then I think it was when I was about 14 that I started to realize I could play some chords, and I would kind of start playing the chords to my favorite songs. And I think once I realized that, whenever I was home alone, I would just sit and play the chords to my favorite songs and start singing along. And I never thought anything of it. It was definitely something that I only did in my own time to start off with. And I would never let anyone hear me sing. And then during COVID, I started playing guitar and writing my own songs. And that was definitely one of the pivotal moments that kind of, I guess, changed everything for me. And I started writing my own songs. And I just really became a safe space for me. And that's, yeah, I guess how it all started. And then after that, when I finished school, I started studying music. And then when I did that course, I also just learned heaps more about songwriting. And it was my first time kind of performing singing for the first time. And yeah, it was so much fun.
Do you think that you would have taken up piano as a child if your mom hadn't pushed you?
I think I probably would have maybe been a bit intrigued in some sort of instrument, but I definitely don't think as much as I would have, I guess, like as much as I have, because yeah, my mom was like, it was like the one thing she was like, you can quit anything, but I'm not letting you quit piano.
You said that during school, you'd write your own songs and play when no one else is around, and you didn't sing in front of anyone. What was the reason behind that? Was it a bit of fear or self-consciousness?
Yeah, I think it was probably a bit of both. I definitely was scared of how, I guess, other people would perceive me. And I think another fear in that is when you're singing and you're writing your own songs, there's so much vulnerability behind it. And I think, if anything, that was probably what I was most scared to show, because when you're taught classical piano, it's like you have to sit very upright and you have to be expressive, but it's in a very different way to singing. So I think for a while when I started singing, I would literally have like a blank face and would just like almost sing like a bit of a robot for a while there. But yeah.
Do you feel that the music course that you studied allowed you to be vulnerable without having the fear or consciousness attached to it?
Yeah, I think definitely, because I guess my cohort, we were all kind of doing the same thing and we were all starting together. So it was really nice to be able to have like-minded people around and I guess get to know everyone. And I think it wasn't as scary being vulnerable because you kind of would see everyone else was kind of in the same boat. So it was definitely super fun being all together and watching everyone grow for sure.
How do you create a song?
So for me, I guess it really depends on the day and what kind of situation I'm in, whether I'm at home by myself or whether I'm in the studio. Usually for me, when I'm at home and I'm just feeling like I want to write something, it always starts with the music and I'll usually sit down at either the guitar or piano and just start playing some chords. And it takes me a little while to kind of figure out what chords I'm kind of feeling, but after I kind of settle on a chord progression, I usually will kind of just reflect and think about how I'm feeling and how the chords itself make me feel. And then I guess sometimes I'll journal a bit and that also helps me kind of, I guess, have some words in front of me already. And after I journal, it's nice to be able to, yeah, see if any of those words or phrases kind of stick out while they're on the page. And then I guess it's very similar to when I'm also in the studio as well. Yeah, me and my producer, Michael Belsar, we usually would just kind of start jamming on something, coming up with, yeah, the musical kind of aspect. And while he's kind of, yeah, working on the production of it, I'll kind of do some journaling, figure out what I want it to be about. And then usually I start with melody. And then once I kind of have some sort of melody, I like to kind of see where the lyrics can fit in with that.
Tell us about your latest releases.
My latest release is called Valentine. And I wrote that song, I think, just over a year ago, probably the start of last year. And for me, I just kind of wrote that about craving the simplest kind of love and just, you know, wanting to tell the person that you're with that you don't really need that much and you just want to, you know, be able to hang out with them and spend time with them. Because I think a lot of the time, especially in this day and age, I think the little things definitely underrated. And yeah, so I think that's definitely what Valentine is about. And then my single before that, which is my debut single, is called The Secret. And I actually wrote that one quite a few years ago, I think probably around 3 years ago now. And it actually started out as one of my first uni assignments when I first started studying music. And we literally had to, I think we just had to write a section A and like a section B to a song. And I, yeah, started writing the verses and then finished it off for my complete assignment. But I think for that song, it's really just about letting go of the things that don't serve you anymore. And yeah, I think there's a glimmer of hope in it, which is really nice because there are a lot of sad songs out there about, you know, whether it's like letting go of things, whether it's like a friendship or a romantic relationship, or even just like letting go of something.
You've had the release Valentine. What's coming up for the rest of the year?
Yeah, so lots more for the rest of the year. Definitely more music that will be coming soon, which I'm so excited about. I don't want to reveal too much,
yes.
But definitely more music and hopefully some more shows as well, because it's been so much fun doing some shows. So definitely more shows on the cards.
Performing live and performing in shows, you mentioned that you love it and it's super fun. Before actually doing it and then getting on stage and doing it, were there aspects of it that you were actually, when doing it, thinking, oh, I didn't realize that this is actually part of the process?
Yeah, for sure. I think for me, a lot of the performing aspect didn't come as natural as the writing for me. Kind of early this year, I was putting in a lot of effort to enhance the performance side of things because there's so many different aspects. There's like, you know, someone like Taylor Swift, she, you know, will be running on a treadmill and the vocal actual like stamina is a huge thing as well. So that's something that I started to do, which felt like I was like working out every day, but I was running on the treadmill for a bit and singing along to the songs. And another thing that I also kind of didn't realize was just, I guess, the performance in general. And, you know, if you're doing a half an hour set, there's quite a bit of engagement, and it sometimes is easy to forget that everyone is kind of looking at you. So you kind of got to remember to be engaging. So that's definitely something that I worked on as well. Now it's definitely feeling a lot more natural, and it's just so much fun to go out and perform.
Okay, so I'm that dude that's right up in front. I'll take my cell phone out for maybe one or two songs, one or two photos, then I'll put it away. I notice these days a lot of people are videoing and posting and tweeting for a lot of time in the show. Do you feel that takes away a little bit from the connection, or that backwards and forwards, or it's just where society is at the moment?
Yeah, I think it's a tricky one because I guess, you know, a lot of people love to be able to either take videos at concerts and then to be able to look back as a memory, which I always do that as well. And I think, yeah, sometimes it does take away from it. I guess it really depends on who the audience is. For example, when I did my first headline show for The Secret, which was like the single launch gig, all of the girls who were there, they were recording on their phones, but it was really nice because I think they kind of held their phones off to the sides, and then I was still able to see their beautiful smiling faces. So I think the connection was definitely there for sure, which is so nice. But I'm definitely like aware sometimes when I go to concerts and if I'm on my phone a bit too much, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to put it away. And it's nice to also just take it in with your own eyes, for sure.
Absolutely. I'd love your perception of this, being a new artist in the industry, a younger artist. I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. For me, it's a thank you to you guys for all the hard work that you're doing. I love the journey of the choice, the unpacking, the booklet, the thank yous, the pictures, the listening to song from 1 to 10 or 12 or 15, whatever number. I'm unsure if you are aware that massive spike of physicals around the world. Last year alone in the UK, 5.9 million vinyls sold, the biggest since 1990.
Wow.
Also last year in the UK, there's a basket of products that they gauge exchanges on. And based on these exchanges, there's something around taxing or the tax they monitor. And there needs to be a huge amount of exchanges daily for a product to be in the basket. And because of the upsurge of CDs, CDs are now back in the basket being monitored. And the research is showing that it's the teenagers, the younger kids diving into this world, not necessarily in inverted commas, the older nostalgic people. And then we have streaming platforms that people consume music on. What are your observations of the landscape at the moment?
I mean, obviously, I feel like streaming is like such a huge thing. It's where the majority of people can go and listen to their music. And I think like streaming has become so big, obviously, because it's so available and it's on your phone. But I think part of it as well is also the algorithm. I think for me, I have found so many new artists, whether it's on my Spotify, like the Made For You playlists, which I think is a really cool way because, you know, Spotify are able to, you know, I guess artists are able to pitch to Spotify and then get put on different playlists and I guess reach new audiences that they wouldn't have even realized that they necessarily had, which is really cool. But I also have always loved the physical side of things. And yeah, like you said, the whole journey of it is so much fun. And I think it kind of puts a bit more thought into it. And I guess, yeah, you have to really think about what you want to listen to because, you know, you have to go out and buy it. So I think I definitely like the idea of being more aware of what you're consuming is really cool. And even just as a collectible, I guess, you know, having vinyls and yeah, I think physical is definitely starting to come back. And I know for me and my music, I would love to be able to, yeah, do a CD or a vinyl of some sort because at the moment people are kind of just treasuring it a bit more. And it's nice to be able to have, yeah, something physical from the artist.
You referenced a couple of songs you released and the new other songs coming up. Is it going to be eventually a body of work of an album or are you still feeling it out?
So I think there'll probably be not quite an album, but hopefully an EP. So definitely some sort of body of work.
I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 years, 20 minutes, 5 hours, I know your answer will be different every time. I recognize that and I understand that. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to 5 other artists once we'd finish this conversation, who would those artists be? And if you could think of specific songs from those artists, what songs would you play of theirs?
One of my favorite artists who I have gained so much inspiration from is definitely Lizzie McAlpine. I think her songwriting is just phenomenal, and her album 5 Seconds Flat definitely, I guess it was kind of the first time that I felt like I had a vision for my project. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, the production on that album is just like really beautiful. And, oh, picking a song. If I had to play one of her songs right now, I feel like probably All My Ghosts. I feel like it's such a fun one. Another artist would be Gracie Abrams. She's another inspiration for me. She's just so cool. I love her. I love I Knew It, I Know You. That is such a good song. That's from her most recent album. And yeah, I love that song. I also, similar artist, Olivia Rodrigo. I just love everything she's doing, and all of her bangers are so good. I feel like if I were to play a song of hers right now, I think it might be So American. I love that song. Mm-hmm. That's such a good song. And then I was also just listening to Bon Iver in the car before on my way here. So I feel like if I were to play one of his songs, probably From, which is from the new album, which is such a good song as well. And then, okay, one more artist. I've also been really loving Audrey Hepburn, I would say. I think she's only just released her, first two singles. But there's something about them that just feel really fresh and just like fun pop. So yeah, I would definitely say one of her songs. Probably Sue Me, which is her first song, which is just such a fun, silly song. Just makes me want to like dance in my bedroom all alone.
Well, that's always fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Tilly, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
Ooh, I would like to say thank you so much for listening to everything. And yeah, you can listen to my music on all streaming platforms, and there is lots more music to come very soon.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook @CelebSavant. That's CelebSavant.